As the band is being seated, I want to mention that we have a renewed coffee and fellowship time that has started now.
Let me adjust this microphone.
Did that get your attention? Drew, you may have to turn it down a bit, I don't know. But anyway, there's a coffee fellowship time that has renewed. It started again in August, and it's every Sunday following this service out by the kitchen. And today I met our guest host that brought homemade cookies. And so instead of watching football games yesterday, they were making cookies. That's something to get ready for after this service. Today the sermon is entitled, for those who are watching online, Something to Hope For. And we conclude this morning a series of sermons on the theme, The Grand Essentials for Happiness in Life. And the phrase, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, was coined by a man named Joseph Addison. Joseph Addison lived in the 17th century, and he worked as a poet, a playwright, and a politician. And as I said on previous Sundays, what a combination that is in our day and time. And Addison wrote that essential to our happiness in life is that of having something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for. The grand essentials for living. And today we consider the grand essential of happiness of having something to hope for. There are two scripture readings this morning from the Bible. The first is from the Old Testament. I'm reading in Genesis chapter 8, the story at the end of the time of the great flood that's mentioned in Genesis. Genesis 8, beginning at verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out the raven. And it went out to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot and returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took the dove and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him anymore. Verse 13, in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering from the ark and looked and saw that the face of the ground was drying. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you, of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and every animal, every creeping thing, and every bird, and everything that moves on the earth went out of the ark by families. And then our second scripture reading is from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of the love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for these moments together. O Lord, some of us come this morning as if we are living on a mountain. Life is good and joyous, and maybe even our team won yesterday. But Lord, we thank you for when life is good. But Lord, we also come to you today, many of us, as if we're walking through the valley of the shadow or some difficult time or difficult circumstance. Help us to know that whether on the mountain or in the valley, that you are always with us and you hear the prayers of your people that were mentioned this day. And we keep all these things in our hearts through Christ our Lord. Hear us this day, O Lord. Speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. Something to hope for. I want to say to you this morning as your pastor, after all these years, I want to say to you that I believe that hope is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us. Hope. It is indeed, as Addison said, one of the grand essentials of happiness for living a joyous life. As I begin this message, I also want to say to you that I know this message may be hard for some people this morning. It is often hard to hear good news when you're going through difficulty because sometimes it seems like a platitude or it seems superficial. And so I know this message can be hard for those who are listening online or those who are here who are going through some sort of difficulty. And I know a number of people, in fact, maybe you do, who are struggling with an illness or who are undergoing medical tests or who are considering leaving rehab after having been strongly suggested that they stay in it. And there are also those who are facing difficulties in a relationship or in a job this morning, and I'm aware of that. But the bottom line to remember this morning is that hopelessness is not a Christian word. Do you believe, as I do this morning, that there is no situation in life that God cannot bring about some good? God can. If so, then we understand, you see, that this does not mean that there will be days in which it seems that life is difficult. It doesn't mean that there will be days in which it seems that the sun never came up. And I really believe that for people of faith, there is no situation that is absolutely hopeless. And so that's part of the message this day. If you noticed in our reading this morning from the book of Genesis about the great flood, Noah and his family experienced and they witnessed this great flood that Genesis records covered the whole earth. A lot of devastation in the waters which covered the earth. They covered the earth for 40 days, and finally, the waters began to subside. And Noah, he finally sent out birds to determine whether or not they could find a place to land, whether the water was subsiding. And the second dove returned, and in the beak of that second dove was an olive leaf, a freshly plucked olive leaf. Perhaps the leaf from that olive tree had come from a seed, and during the great storm, the great flood, that seed had been embedded in the earth. And when the sun came out, for a number of days, you notice, Noah waited for the waters to completely dry up. And it takes a seed about 30 days to germinate, and so maybe perhaps it was a seed from an olive tree that produced a small leaf, and the dove brought that back. And in the midst of all the clouds and darkness, after all those days, light and life and hope again was birthed. Listen, if you were here this morning, or watching live streaming on this service, or hearing the ambulance in the background this morning, or perhaps you're watching this service later this week and you're going through a difficult time, a difficult relationship, or through an illness, or difficulty in your finances, know that there is a loving and gracious God who has a good word to speak to you, whatever your circumstance in life. Let me ask you this question this morning. What would it mean for you to begin to live every day as a strong, hopeful person in life? In the midst of all that we face in this world, what would it mean if you lived with a strong hope every day from the time you woke up to the time that you went to bed? How would life be different for you in your world? Or perhaps consider the question this way. Think about your own faith journey this morning. Who has been that person, or who have been those persons who have brought the light of hope into a difficult situation that you have faced at some point in time? All of us have had that at some point, someone who's been there in a time of darkness or difficulty. Or perhaps think about this. Think for a moment where God might be calling you to be a light in someone else's darkness. I believe God always does that, calls us to be a light for someone else. Personally, I will always be grateful, perhaps you can say this as well, for the lamp of faith that was lighted in my family's life growing up. Someone invited my family to come to a church when I was a young boy, and we started attending church. And from that experience, it helped to change my perspective of all of life because of the light of God's love that came to me through that small church and the love that I came to know from the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And I will always be grateful to that small church I grew up in Tennessee, and also to my grandparents and parents who helped me understand the importance of doing things for others, always being grateful, and always giving back in service to others. Let me this morning, just briefly before I close, offer some spiritual principles about the power of God to give us the gift of hope. And the first principle is this. I'm going to adjust this microphone one more time. It's not right. Principle number one, always remember that Almighty God never, ever stops working in your life. Never stops working. There are many people who say, and I've heard this before, you know, Pastor, God has forgotten about me. Or they say, my prayers don't get beyond the ceiling of the room. Or they say, Pastor, I can honestly say that lately it seems that God doesn't seem to be listening to me at all. When you feel like that, oftentimes you feel like just withdrawing into yourself, especially if you've been hurt. And that's a natural thing to do, to withdraw into a corner. It's exactly what any animal would do when they're hurt, is to withdraw. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't stay withdrawn from everything. Instead, I would encourage you to tell God about your suffering and about how you have been hurt and how you feel no one has listened to you. This is exactly what happens in a great number of the Psalms of the Bible. For example, in Psalm 22, the psalmist writes this and prays this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day and night, but it seems you do not answer, and I find no rest. Psalm 22. You can sense the anger. You can sense the frustration in the writer who doesn't feel listened to, who doesn't seem to have any hope. There are other psalms I want to give you this morning. Read Psalm 73. That's a good prescription for this week. Psalm 73. It's a wonderful psalm, and Psalm 73 has this time in it where the psalmist is so frustrated because he sees all that's happening in the world and how other people prosper, and he doesn't seem to prosper at all, and he complains and he moans, and finally he says, I will still go to the temple and praise your name because I know you are faithful. There's that turn oftentimes in the psalm. The end of Psalm 22, just to show you this illustration, it ends like this. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. I will fear the Lord and praise him, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering or the afflicted. He has not hidden his face, but he has listened to my cry for help. That's a very different way than he began that prayer. G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton is someone we all should know. He was a British writer. He actually wrote the popular, very lucrative Father Brown Mysteries that many people know about. And he wrote, some people don't know this, he wrote the Father Brown Mysteries. He knew they were popular, and he kept writing them because he wanted to bankroll his less profitable efforts, his other rewarding work to him that wasn't so lucrative. But many people don't know that G.K. Chesterton was also a Christian. And when he was once in a discussion group, the question was posed to him, if he were marooned on an island, what book would he most want on that island? And he said, well, I could have pretended to be someone who was very popular in the public. I could have said I wanted the works of Shakespeare or the works of Charles Dickens. I could have said I just wanted the works of the Bible to sustain me during that time. But what Chesterton said, the great Christian, he scratched his head and he said, you know the book I'd most like? The book I'd most like is Thomas's Guide to Practical Shipbuilding. You have to let that set in for a while. And what Chesterton was saying is that there is no such place that is hopeless. There is no such thing as a hopeless situation. There is no place we can go. There's no place we can run to. There's no place we can flee, says the psalmist, that God is not present. And perhaps what some of us need this morning is Thomas's guide to forgiveness, or Thomas's guide to patience. Perhaps what we need, as we mentioned on the first Sunday in this series, is Thomas's guide to loving difficult people. And there really is such a book. There really is such a guide, and that guide is the Bible. The Bible really is the manufacturer's handbook. I remember being told that as a teenager in church. The Bible is like the guidebook, the instructions for living. And it's true. And in all 66 books of the Bible, it says there's this first principle that emerges that God never, ever stops working in your life, ever. Principle number two, always remember that God's love is redemptive. Redemptive. And that means that out of any brokenness or difficulty in your life, God is working to bring wholeness. God is working to bring peace. Our reading this morning is one of the most favorite, my most favorite passages in all the Bible, Romans 5, 1 to 5. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture that teaches just this, that God works out of the brokenness of life to redeem life. And Paul talks about suffering in these verses. And suffering, he writes, can sometimes lead you to feel pressured. And he writes this very beautifully in how he describes suffering. He talks about being pressured, being hopeless. But suffering, writes Paul, produces endurance. Endurance. And this can be hard to hear, but it's true. And endurance here in this passage in Romans 5 is a wonderful word, because endurance in the Greek language of the Bible, it comes from the Greek word hupomone. Hupomone. That's the word for endurance in the Greek of the Bible. Hupomone. It literally means hanging in there no matter what. Through the treatments, through the rehab, through the task, through the project that I have been given, I will hang in there and I will finish the race that I've been given. No matter what it takes, I'm going to finish. You know, I wonder why as churches, why as parents, why as friends to other people, why we often don't say to people more frequently the truth about life. And the truth is this, life can be a real struggle. It can be difficult. And oftentimes we try to sugarcoat that, but life can be troublesome at times. It can be very difficult. Oftentimes it seems we go through life and nothing of value seems to happen. It seems that very often, like, life takes endurance and life takes us hanging in there no matter what to reach our goals. I'm thinking this morning about a conversation I had recently with my mother, Nancy, in Tennessee. We were talking about the 1960s and 70s, and I was telling her about Cracker Jacks, one of my favorite treats as a kid. And maybe you've seen now they have Cracker Jill in the stores too, Cracker Jack and Cracker Jill. But we were talking about how expensive things seem to be nowadays. And I asked her, I said, Mom, I said, what, for you and Dad, what was your mortgage payment in the 1960s and the 1970s? And you know what she said? She said, Chris, she said, our banker, Paul Ed Parrott, who was also your baseball coach, we used to laugh because we wouldn't pay off our mortgage. We kept making the payments and not paying off the mortgage, though the bank wanted us to pay it off. And I said, why was that? She said, well, our mortgage was only $138 a month. Things have changed, haven't they? With this automaker's strike, this those that work on cars, things will be difficult to buy a car perhaps in time. But things are really different, and they're very difficult for young people today. Many people think they won't be able to own a home on their own. And I would say to you, just hang in there, no matter what, and have that dream. It'll come. But why are some people surprised when trouble comes? As if trouble were a stranger or an unexpected intrusion in life. Trouble is just a part of life. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Tell others instead, not just about trouble, but about Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. And so suffering, Paul writes here, produces endurance. And endurance produces our third spiritual principle that I'll close with, and that's the principle of character. And it's not just any kind of character. It's character in a person that is proven and tested. It's like taking rocks and putting them in a furnace and burning them to try to burn those rocks down to their purest form of metal to refine it. And that's exactly the image you should have of Romans 5 and the first five verses there, that image of being purified. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character, writes Paul, finally produces hope. And that hope, he says, does not disappoint us because of the light of God poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hope, you see, is that calm confidence that our circumstances are not the last words on today. Hope is that calm confidence that in spite of our circumstances, God is a God of redemption, and God is always working to redeem all of life, just like in the story of Noah and the great flood. All of life was redeemed. And God will not shield us from pain. He will not eliminate all the suffering, all the adversity of life. But God does say, I will hold on to you and I will never let you go. And one of the grand essentials for living, one of the grand essentials for happiness, is having something to hope for. And that something I'm proposing to you today is faith in the God we know in Jesus Christ. That's something to hold on to. That's the grand essential for living, that there will always, always in Christ be hope. Let us pray. Oh, dear God, even when things are difficult, help us to live with endurance, because we know through endurance you produce character within each one of us. And as hard as that is to hear, oh Lord, work within our lives, because we know you are always present. You are always with us. You walk through us through the valley of the shadow. And so help us to fear no evil, for you are with us each and every time. And remind us today, O Lord, that you are holding on to us and that you will never, ever let us go. Let us be people of hope. In Christ's name, amen.